This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We do appreciate those of you who take time to write and who pray for this ministry. If you go to my website, you can listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. So if you want to contact me, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down. Now, we've been working on the names and titles of the Lord Jesus. And today I want to continue with one of the titles of the Lord, and it's the title Advocate. We find that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I want to read that section where it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected or matured or completed. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." I'm going to read that again. "By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he," that is, as the Lord, "walked." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. You're going to hear this on June 30th, at least if everything goes according to plan. And June 30th is sort of a special day for me because it's my birthday. Now, I will be 76 years old on my birthday, and I will have been saved for 56 of those years. I have been preaching the gospel full-time for 37 years. One of the precious truths that I have enjoyed over that time is that I have one who is loyal to me, one who takes my side, one who advocates for me. I have many so-called friends that were only fair-weather friends, and when the gospel that I preached became unpopular, they were nowhere to be found. But the Lord is always there, defending me even when I am in the wrong. Notice this passage has to do with sin. He defends me even when I am wrong, or particularly when I am in the wrong, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, as we look at this passage, the precious part of it is that the Lord is our advocate. And I think over the years, I've known the Lord as my friend. I know he's my Savior. He's my God. He's a coming King, and right now he's my spiritual King. He's our Lord. He's our mediator. But for me, I like the fact that he takes my side when I need him in a court of law. He's my advocate, and an advocate is really a lawyer. So he's my lawyer, and he's a good one. So over these last 56 years of walking with the Lord, and when the Bible says we walk in the light in 1 John, it's really talking about having believed the truth. It's not talking about the fact that we never sin. But if we walk in the light, that is, if we have accepted the fact that Christ died for our sins, and we are living our life in the truth of that, if we believe that truth, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When you look at 1 John, there's a number of confusing things in it, as far as I'm concerned, because we find out that in the passage we've read, it says that we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, it's my understanding, if we keep his commandments, we're not sinning. So I looked into that, and I found out that what I didn't understand what keeping the commandments was all about. What keeping the commandments is all about is guarding the truth. The word keep is the word for guard, and we are to guard the truth. And we guard the truth by recognizing that God sets a standard, and when we fail with regard to that standard, when we fail with regard to what he has asked, we've sinned. But the Lord is our lawyer who comes to our defense when we sin, he defends us against his righteous standards. He really defends us against a God as the righteous God, the one who has the right to judge us. He takes our side, and he takes our side because he is the propitiation for our sins. And that just simply means he's the sacrifice that has satisfied God with regard to our sin. So keeping the commandments is not never sinning, but it's recognizing that when we sin, we have done wrong, and we confess our sin. So when we are confessing our sin, we're guarding the truth, we're guarding the standard, and we have an advocate who stands with us in the matter of guilt. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we read in 1 John chapter 2 that we're walking in the light, that simply means that we're walking in these truths. And to walk in these truths means we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we always keep from sinning. And that's one thing I've garnered as I've looked through 1 John, is that guarding the truth doesn't mean that we don't sin. It means we confess our sin. We keep the commandment even when it condemns us. We guard the truth even when it condemns us. We walk in the light when we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior and trust Him. And He's the light. And from that point on, we are in fellowship, or should be in fellowship with Him. We often say that when we are saved, we are not sinless. And it's pretty obvious that many people who claim to be Christians are sinners. And some of them are sinners without a conscience, and that's something I don't understand. But we are sinners. Sinners with a conscience. Sinners with a standard that God has set. And when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we get saved, we are not sinless. But there are those who say, while we are not sinless, we should sin less. And I think one of the first indications of a person's salvation, a person's new birth, is the fact that now they want to know what pleases God. And when they sin, they don't justify the sin. Instead, they confess the sin. And they do their best to turn away from that sin. But they don't let man determine what sin is. They let God determine what sin is. They let God impress upon them His standards and His righteousness. Men want to control other men through social conventions that sometimes are not right at all, and sometimes they use social conventions that men have developed that are not in the standard that we find in the Bible. So we have to go to the Bible to find out what that standard is. And in 1 John, the standard is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we guard His truths. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that He is who He claimed to be, that He is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, that He's the sacrifice for our sins. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love one another as He gave us commandment, and that embodies all that is being said in 1 John. Many times we look at 1 John and look at the issue of committing sin and some of the other things that are said in 1 John, and we forget that what the Lord is talking about is this command that we love one another, that we now have a different attitude toward other Christians, but even more than that, we have a different attitude towards sinners in the world. And so we believe on Him and we love one another. And those commandments have to be commandments that are precious to people who are saved, who are abiding in the light, who are walking in the light, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus. But let's just say that we aren't very good at loving one another. We can't obviously give up on the truth that Christ died for our sins. That's based on the truth of Scripture, on the foundation that we find in the promises of God, but sometimes we don't love our neighbor, which is the result of trusting in the Lord or walking in the light. And sometimes when we fail in that regard, we have to have an advocate who comes alongside and who defends us to the Father. And I'm just so glad I've got one who's willing to do that for me. He not only saved me and clothed me with a robe of righteousness, but He defends me when I fail. Did you get that? He defends me when I fail. And I've enjoyed that truth now for 56 years. And I've been preaching that truth now for over 37 years. And that truth has never changed. The Lord never has failed with regard to His promise to keep me and defend me and to be there as my advocate, as my lawyer when I need him. Now, we find this word advocate or lawyer or one who comes alongside here and in John chapter 14. And there in John chapter 14, it has to do with the fact that the Lord is going to give us a comforter. It's the same word. He's going to give us one who comes alongside, and he not only defends us, but he comforts us. He is the one who gives us encouragement. He's the one who teaches us. So the idea of a comforter or of an advocate is probably much broader than we really understand. But the Lord gives us that, and he says he's going to give us another comforter, which means that the Lord was a comforter, and he's going to give us another comforter of the same kind. It's not going to be a different kind of comforter. It's a comforter of the same kind, if I understand the words right. And that comforter, that advocate, is the one that's referred to in 1 John chapter 2 as well. The Lord's our advocate there. And in John chapter 11, it's the Holy Spirit that's our advocate. But they have one mind and one purpose. And so we wouldn't want to get too technical with regard to separating the functions of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But you'll notice in our passage that it says that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. He's talking to people in the family in this passage, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Now, that should take care of the issue as to whether God has decided or elected certain people to be saved and certain people not to be saved. We find that he has provided a sacrifice that is sufficient to save the whole world. And friend, today, if you're not saved, it's your fault, not God's. He's the sacrifice that satisfies God, and he's the sacrifice that is not for Christians only, but also for those of the whole world, and yet the whole world does not appreciate what the Lord has done for them. The whole world has not come to understand the truth that Christ died for their sins. And if they did understand that, they would find it would be a precious thing to know the Lord in these different capacities that we've been dealing with in this series. And it would be so precious to know that even when you sin, that the Lord is our advocate who's defending us after we are saved. He's defending us to the Father. He's defending us, actually, in a sense, against his own righteous standards. And he loves us and wants to guard us and keep us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our, not only our Savior, but he wants to be our lawyer. And so, friend, I hope you've trusted in him and that you know your sins are forgiven, because then he becomes your advocate, your lawyer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today, to bless those who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.